Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Canes baseball is back on the ticket as the Gino DeMar era is underway. The next broadcast is March 1st. UM Baseball and Ticket is brought to you by GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. And by University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute, now at the Lennar Medical Foundation, located in Coral Gables. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. I saw the first game, Robbie. They smoked Rutgers.
What happened 19-3.
What happened the rest of the weekend?
They swept.
Swept them?
Yeah.
Rutgers rule, son. I love it.
Back. No more bunting the three hitters.
Well done. 19 runs in that first game. Pouring it on them.
Hot dog.
Pouring it on him.
I don't get any work like shake.
Leroy threw a Gatorade bottle at me.
Why?
During the break.
Because he won't stop with these ridiculous.
What?
Ridiculous takes.
First of all, it was a texter's ridiculous take.
Oh.
Not mine.
Let me read it. Here. All right.
Rosenhaus. Hey, can somebody teach Rosenhaus how to talk into a phone? I don't
Here
need
you
the
go.
Full view of his
you
nostrils.
Ready?
Yeah.
Dang, Leroy, every time there's criticism of a potential Dolphins pick, you are very reliable in putting down the black players, especially quarterbacks. Where'd that come from? By me saying Bridgewater didn't play, hasn't played football for 3 years? He hasn't.
He has one week 17 start with the Saints this past
year. And he
was
horrible.
It was pretty bad.
So I didn't even count that.
Yeah, but that was field rust.
What?
Yeah. You ever hear of ring rust? Fighters have fallen a while.
See?
Whoa.
See why I threw... I'm telling you right now, the next comment like that, this one's full.
Did you guys see Cain Velasquez this weekend?
Yeah, all 26 seconds. He blew his knee out.
Yeah, he broke his knee.
Yeah. Ring rust.
No.
Octagon rust.
It's more like they were sweating all over the thing and he slipped.
Was I the only one noticing that Cain Velasquez had a little bit of moves going on?
Yeah.
He's always had moves. You can tell he hasn't juiced at the gills.
Is he like 45?
So 36.
Whatever.
So him and DC got the same problem?
Yeah. They like to eat in that camp. Khabib, not so much.
There's no such thing as field rust and shut up.
No, there definitely is field rust.
No.
Really?
Really?
Here.
Really?
Can I just tell you? There's can and can't. Like, you don't just all of a sudden.
You've never just been out there feeling a little rusty?
No.
There is do or
then
do
I get,
not.
Then
there
I
is
get
no
hit,
try.
And I come alive.
What's the most time you've missed?
2 weeks.
Nah, that doesn't count.
Okay.
Yeah, you can't speak to this.
I missed, I averaged 15 games a year. 15.6 or something.
What's the best teammate that missed a lot of time?
Bernie broke his ankle.
Okay, and when Bernie came back, how'd he look?
He looked great. He was sitting on the bench. Vinny Testaverde got the job.
Damn. all right. Ryan Tannehill, your boy. when he came back. Oh, when he came back from the injury,
it's
field hard, rust or he stinks?
How about we use Tom Brady? Because he was on a good team. So when he came back after missing almost a whole year,
right?
If I'm not mistaken, he won MVP that year or something. Pretty close to it.
I can't say if that's true or not because I don't know.
Right.
He didn't go to Super Bowl for another few years after that.
Nah, field rust.
I can't.
Thanks for making my point for me, Robbie.
See, I told you, separate. But once you guys join rings,
I think that might have been the year he lost to the Jets, and they can't wait.
Are you guys worried about Goran Dragic's court rust?
No.
Yes. Yes.
Chemistry.
Well, we talked about this yesterday.
New lineup
is the lineup situation when Goran gets back.
Goran gets right back in there.
Who goes out? We'll get into it in 15 minutes of heat. But
hello,
yeah. Oh, somebody said. Leroy needs a nice power walk. That's the new thing. That's a new thing. That's a new thing. Call somebody
right.
racist.
Right.
Oh, somebody needs a power walk.
I think Liam Neeson should have an infomercial on how to cure racism. He's got Liam Neeson just like out there power walking.
I have a particular set of skills.
Clearly, Leroy is racist against black quarterbacks.
It's called power walking.
How did we get here?
I don't know, man. Do you feel like you're racist?
Well, we were getting the reverse racism. We were getting you were racist against white people yesterday.
Yeah.
And now it's racist against black people. So, yeah. I mean, it's you're
is
an
that
equal
of the Tebow
offender.
Thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's just a Tebow thing.
Well, that's the Gator fans.
He did say Steve Young was athletic. So
we did after video review.
Right.
Say that Steve Young was an athlete and athletic.
Oh, so you were scrounging for athletic white dudes.
No. Just athletic. Like,
but then...
His first example is, look at Michael Vick's highlights. Look at how athletic he is. And then like, go ahead and look at Steve Young.
Right. And I had to, like, yeah.
Then we kind of... The question we pondered while off the air, but not on the air, was name a black quarterback that wasn't athletic. And then we...
Byron Leftwich.
And then Leroy immediately spat out Byron
Leftwich.
Enough,
the Jaguars probably have, like,
Jacoby
the most...
Jacoby Brissett.
They probably have the most unathletic black quarterback in history and maybe one of the most athletic white quarterbacks in history in Blake Bortles. Blake Bortles is good at running.
He is. Not good at the throwing, though.
No, he sucks at that.
But he'll have a new tackle.
I got to tell you, if you can't do the one requirement of your job,
yep,
I'm going to go ahead and give you the L. Like, it's like being a receiver and can't catch.
Don't throw it to Stone Hands.
Let's get the headlines.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
All right, the big news, Manny Machado signs a 10-year, $300 million deal with the Padres. So that now per year makes him the highest paid player in Major League Baseball. But of course, all of this will be done in null and void as far as that goes when Bryce Harper signs his deal.
He won't make as much.
Which is expected. No, he's going to make more.
$1 million more a year.
He's going to make more.
By the way, the Padres' win total jumped 3 wins as soon as Machado signed.
Oh, really?
That's good for huge. Them. 3 wins.
One win for every 100 million.
By the way, both of the corner infielders now.
Like, that doesn't make sense. Like, if you brought an ace pitcher, would it have more of an impact?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Than bringing in Machado?
By the way, their rotation is horrible.
Can you explain that to me, though?
I would say
a guy that only pitches 30 times?
Baseball is broken.
He only pitches 30 times, but he has more control in the game than a guy who gets up 3 times a game.
Yeah, like
4 times a game.
Both hitters are failures. Most
games or 160 games.
I understand, but in those games that he pitches, he's going to have more control, so it kind of balances
out.
And
now pitchers only pitch 6 innings?
That's true.
So, like, how can a pitcher...
Some teams even like to get wacky and don't let their starters start.
Oh,
they have
openers
start.
But I have a hard time understanding why a guy who doesn't throw complete game, you don't have many complete games, he's always going to be relying on a setup guy and a closer. Why he would have more impact on a team than a hitter who plays every night?
The hitters fail most of the time.
Yeah.
Okay, but there's only like 4 pitchers that win 20 games.
Well, the wins and losses are kind of diluted now. It's overrated now. It's more about the ERA and the whip and the strikeouts.
Again, so how can a pitcher be...
Because wins are out of his control a lot of the time. Like the wins.
But that's my point.
No, but like it's just a matter. It's a matter of the win being on his record. Like he could go out there and he could throw up, giving up 6 runs. If your team goes out and scores 8, he'll still get the win.
Okay.
It's not as reflective on how good he is.
But I'm not disputing how good a pitcher is. We just saw the kid in Seattle win.
Felix Hernandez.
Did he have a losing record?
Yeah, that was a decade ago.
Okay, fine, but. What I'm saying is when I ask you who has more of an impact or who can create more wins, a guy like Machado or an ace pitcher, you went with the ace pitcher, even though you just said most of the time the game's out of his control.
Part of that's me going to, like, I know if it gets down to real winning, like when you're going to get into the playoffs.
No, I'm not.
It does.
We're talking about the regular season.
Now that matters, though. Like, what a guy's going to be able to do. It does.
Okay, I'm not talking about playoffs,
though. Also, it's basketball. Like, the Hawks can go out there and win 60 games with dudes you've never heard of in the All-Star game, but they're not going to do bleep against LeBron James. Like, you need the star. And the star in this case is most of the time the pitcher.
You just took my argument and made it something that it's not.
I didn't. I didn't.
You took it something that it's not.
Well, if you pay $300 million for a guy and you're hoping it's going to equate to winning.
Right. Like, and he just said, their wins went up three games.
Right.
Now, I'm saying if I were to spend that same money on a pitcher, would that change their win total more or less?
Yeah. If I'm giving that money to Max Scherzer, it's going to probably affect it to go up more.
See, I don't, and that's what I'm asking you to I'm asking you to help me understand, because I'm trying to figure out a guy who you just said a lot of the times the win is out of his control.
The result.
The result is out of his control, whereas I have a guy playing every night, batting three or four times, sometimes more. Who can have an impact on every night?
Yeah, but there's no such thing as a player. Like, there's no such thing as a Manny Machado actually having a win or a loss attributed to his record. Like, it's just he goes out and he has a good game or he doesn't have a good game. So the same thing can be said, like, if Justin Verlander goes out there and he shuts people down
and they lose.
And they give one run and he loses, how's that his fault?
Or he gets no decision.
But it's still, the hitter, to me, is going to have more impact because he himself...
Because he's playing every game.
He himself can be a difference maker. He does not have to rely. If he hits a home run, that counts as a run. Where if a pitcher could pitch seven innings or shut out baseball and lose the game because he has to depend on other guys. A hitter does not.
Yeah, I mean, he does have to depend on the guys in front of him being on base for him.
Okay, that's
so he can drive
no
RBIs.
But if no guys are on and he hits a couple of home runs, guess what?
Yeah, but what if you're down eight runs?
Right. Then we have Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah, but there could be two outs, nobody on base, you get a single, and the next guy grounds out like that single was meaningless.
I wouldn't have a problem paying Manny Machado $300 million if you just let these guys juice. Like if I knew that these guys are gonna be reliable into their 30s, pay away. Let's do it. Let's just slather them up, and baseball will be more popular again, quite frankly.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I would watch.
No doubt. I don't understand why we have to sit here and act like a bunch of Disney World characters. Why do we have to act like this is all crystal clear? It's not. Go out there, give these guys all the steroids they want, bop all the baseballs.
But we all always look at the steroids thing from an offensive standpoint. Give the pitchers all the steroids they want.
Even it out.
Yeah.
Eric Gagne?
Yeah.
With his stupid goggles. Hated that guy. But he was juiced to the gills. That guy was a bum. Imagine you turn a bum into somebody who's like the best closer.
On a Cy Young as a reliever.
Or opener. What if that? By the way, if you're an opener, I got no respect for you.
Sergio Romo might be doing that a couple times at the moment this year. He did that with the Rays a lot.
Jeets. Don't do it.
Oh, did you see this?
They're so like.
Steinbrenner would never have an opener. If you told Steinbrenner about an opening pitcher, he'd laugh you out the room.
No copying Rays gimmicks.
Oh, I know. I already feel like the jerseys look too much like the Rays jerseys. It's enough. No openers. I'm not about that. It's enough of this Lasorda nonsense or Tony La Russa nonsense. I'm tired of it. Openers.
Hey, Tobin, I have another solution for Kyler Murray's height issue. Draft short, fat offensive linemen. Their low center of gravity will make them just as stout as any O lineman, and quarterback visibility will increase by 50%. The D line is still tall, but the O line isn't a problem.
I don't think the O line was a problem last year.
No, he was fine. Look, they had a stat on ESPN that said Kyler Murray actually threw
more out of the pocket
than Baker Mayfield. And kid from Seattle,
Russell Wilson.
But how many times has Kyler Murray actually had to leave the pocket?
Right.
How many times has he been pressured to where he has to scramble for his life?
Right. But when you have a running quarterback, it does put the defense in a quandary because you have two things you have to do. Either you're going to have a spy on him, right, and that's going to give him more time, or you're going to blitz him, and he's going to start running around, and then your secondary can't cover him. So depending on how he handles himself early in his career, and that's what, look, one of the first words given to us in camp before the first preseason game is this: men, if you don't pick up the blitz today, you will see it all year. So that first preseason game, those first few plays in the first and second preseason games, when the defense is just throwing stuff out there to see if it sticks, you better make sure that your offense is on point picking up all of those different pass rushes. Because if not, everybody's going to look at that tape and have a version of those blitzes.
You're going to feel froggy about it.
Right.
Gotcha. So someone says, by the way, that we're in the Machado thing, we're failing to deal with his defensive numbers.
He is gold caliber defense.
No, I'm not. I wasn't really saying him in particular, but a hitter of his talent.
Yeah, well, tell me the last time Omar Vizquel got $30 million. Like, it's nice to talk about. Nobody pays him for that, though.
Right.
Jabari Parker said it best.
Like, it's cute. It's a cute thing to say, and I don't disagree. Like, he can be fantastic on defense, but, you know. That's not why he gets paid that much money.
No.
Well, it adds on. Like, offense comes first, but then as a plus, he plays great defense. And he can play him at third base, so it's hard to find who could play good defense.
No, he'll be fine. Like, once if he eats himself off the field, you know, there'll be a DH by then anyway in the National League.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Oh, it's coming. Oh,
it is coming.
It's coming.
Oh, yeah. We've seen enough Wei and Chen at-bats to know it's coming.
So we're basically – so as a whole, we're saying we would rather have Harper than Machado?
No, I'd rather have Machado.
I'd rather have Machado. Okay.
Yeah. He's a little bit more consistent.
We'd rather have Trout than both.
And Trout.
I'd actually rather pay more for Trout than pay what they paid.
Machado? Trout's younger.
Yeah.
Yeah, Trout's like the best player.
I mean, I know we have 15 minutes of heat coming up next, but I'm guessing at some point throughout the show we're going to talk about Stanton Shade.
Yeah, he's a bastard.
Come on, man.
No, I'm not. I'm not going to come on. I'm not going to come on.
We're not going to get
into you.
We're not going to get. Hey,
go ahead.
Hey, we're not going to get into this.
Go ahead.
We're not going to stop.
Well, we better hurry up because I think I got the bubble guts.
15 minutes of heat is next.
Are you ready, people?
15 minutes of heat on the ticket. Where are you going to get heat information like this with Tobin, Leroy, and Beast? Now!
Make some noise!
Oh, yeah, man. 15 minutes of heat. It's brought to you by Champion 4x4, a South Florida's number one Jeep truck and off-road supercenter. Champion 4x4, where champions are built. It's also brought to you by All-Pro Orthopedic and Sports Medicine. At All-Pro Orthopedic and Sports Medicine, it's their job to get you back in the game with four South Florida locations. There's one near you. Go to allproorthopedics.com for more information. The Heat will be back in action on Thursday when they take on the Philadelphia 76ers.
You think are they practicing before then?
They practice starting tomorrow.
Okay, just one
practice tomorrow. At least that was according to their sports information website.
You think Philly Cheese has been in Philly the whole time?
Know what? I don't know, but Philly Cheese had some cool things to say about Eric Spoelstra. I was reading in the Miami Herald where he was saying that he appreciates Spo putting him back in the starting lineup, and he also appreciates the way Spo coaches, where coach allows. He said, quote, coach is allowing you to be yourself. He coaches you when you make mistakes, and you want that, but he's allowing you to be yourself. You make shots, you miss shots. When you got a guy like that, the game is easier and fun. So, pretty cool to hear that, because
Now
that he's playing.
Now that he's playing. There we go.
But in fairness, at least the style of coaching, like, he appreciates, like, Spo will correct him, but he does let him be him.
Because he's playing.
In the starting lineup.
Because 3 weeks ago, we weren't saying this about Philly Cheese.
We weren't saying that he was... Well, he had a good road trip. He had a really good road trip before going to that. He had a really good road trip. And
he's getting there. But I mean, after seeing him work his way back, you think maybe he's kind of justified in his thinking early on that, yeah, I got to play my way back into shape?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Okay. I think the thing that, well, this is going to be an interesting thing.
That's what makes it frustrating with Spo. Like, it's not that I have a problem with him with how he does things, but from an athlete's perspective, you can't work your way back in by playing 15 minutes one night and 5 minutes or no minutes the next night.
I don't disagree with you, but I think it could also be both, because I think there's plenty of nights where we watched him and we're like, that guy isn't right.
Right,
like,
and maybe now I didn't say that. Maybe Spo looked at the situation and said, I probably shouldn't have played him 15 minutes the first night, and that kind of threw everything off.
I think the thing that's going to be interesting, because, you know, when Goran gets back from this injury, which we think is going to be soon, you know, the question becomes, like, what does become of the lineup? If Philly Cheese does look like he's playing better, and we know that the Heat styles, they're going to go for the playoffs, they're not going to tank this thing. That tandem of Goran Dragic and Dion Waiters was huge when Goran was healthy and when Dion was healthy back a couple years ago and made the run. Those were the guys. Like, that was the engine that made it go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't know what Goran's going to look like coming off of this knee injury, and he's a couple years older from that run, but those guys had really good chemistry together.
Did Goran have surgery?
I think he got scoped.
Okay.
Yeah, I think
it's like a debridement or something. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, all the talk is Justice Winslow's role once Goran gets back.
Well, he's going to go back to that second unit.
Well, the thing is will that hurt his development?
No.
And also, he says that he doesn't want to go back to the second unit.
Okay, well, yeah, okay. People in hell don't want to be hot. Tough. Like, if Spo's going to be tough with everybody else, that falls right in the line with, hey, this is how we do things.
You know what I'd say to that, though? I don't think it's the thing where, I don't think you necessarily have to have Justice Winslow go back to the second unit. Like, have Justice Winslow in the starting lineup, because I think it's kind of redundant to have him and James Johnson on any unit together, because they're too similar of a player. And I think you obviously love the upside of Justice a little bit more. And, you know, Goran's done a good job before of just taking a back seat when another guy needs
to
get theirs.
Oh, no, you can't.
He does.
But wait a minute. Whoa. This is kind of the out of sight, out of mind thing. Okay? Because Goran is like the engine. And now you're saying, take a back seat.
No. What I'm saying is Goran has been in positions before with Dwayne where if another guy needs to have the ball to dominate and create and do that type of things, he knows how to do that already. Like, so if another guy does have to step up in certain situations, because we know Goran's never going to close. It's never been his thing. He's not the guy who's late in a game in that kind of situation who's going to create for you or get his own shot. That's not him. It never has been. It's not his thing. I don't know what it is. We know that Goran Dragic can get and be a super offensive engine for this team and get on big runs for guys and get really hot. And I don't think this team, with the struggles they've had scoring, can afford to not have that guy in there if your actual goal is to go win right now, because they struggle too. There's too many lapses with this team.
Right, but that's what, I mean, we said the same thing about Philly Cheese. Wait, they're struggling scoring, and you got to score, and you're choosing not to play.
Right, and especially if those guys work so great together.
Right, which means that, okay, you have to put Goran back in the starting line.
Fine, but that doesn't mean that in this case you can't find another step with Justice to just have him out there with these guys.
Right.
And figure it out. Like, put Justice, you know, Justice can put more of a focus on defense in certain times on those situations, because we know he's very good at that.
I mean, it's hard. Like, here's what's happened on this team. Is that, remember, early in the year, they said, Jay Rich, you the man. And Jay Rich went buck wild with the basketball, right? And then Justice kind of stepped up, and Jay Rich has his moments, right? So that's kind of going to change again, because when Goran gets back, Jay Rich is going to start.
Yep.
Philly Cheese.
Do they just not go with a pure power forward? Like, that would, you know, do they go with the situation where they play the two young wings with Goran and Dion and Hassan?
You could, but you're going to need somebody to come up with that second unit. So how are you going to, you know, you got D-Wade, it's going to be Justice, it's going to be Magruder, Bam, and KL. There you go. And he only plays nine, so one of them going to sit out, probably going to be Magruder.
Yeah, got to sit.
Like, of the 10. Like, but the fact of the matter is that we're having this conversation, right? And they're four games under 500. Like, you can't be too picky.
No, like, I understand the importance of having Justice out there and having him create, and because he is one of your future pieces. I get that. I get getting him that experience.
There's
but,
a butt coming.
No, no, it's just the only, and the butt's not that super, it's not that big a negative. It's just.
It's not that big a butt.
I just think like Justice being a carrier of offense night in and night out, that's not quite there yet. Like when things are really going bad and you're boys, nothing's going. Can Justice be the guy who carries the team on bad nights?
Are we sure that's his thing, though? He's been doing it, but that's not his expertise. So he can do it for you in a pinch, but that can't be the normal thing. That's what I believe. I think that's Gorin's thing. That's not Justice's thing, even though he can do it. For the same reason why, you know, we say, whoa, Jay Rich, you can't be shooting 20 shots.
Yeah, I just don't know if any guy on this team is like, we can't take them out of their comfort zone that much and they can't adjust to it because they've all been in these situations where like the role has had to change at some point. Right. And I don't think any one of them is good enough to where it has to be this way and it has to be that night in and night out because otherwise they're going to give you nothing.
Do you think there's any kind of a Justice is our guy, we picked him, we believed in him from the beginning, from the get-go, we loved what we saw from him in college, we developed him, he's our guy.
You know why? You know why I don't believe that to be true? Because look at all the guys they get from the D-League, right? And all the guys that come from the D-League and end up playing
the guys they get from the D-League are on their D-League team that they develop on the Skyforce, whereas Gorin was already developed, you know, shaped player when
they
got him.
They traded for him.
Yes,
paid him.
They did, but I'm just
saying,
but I'm just saying, I wonder if, like, somehow, subconsciously, they believe Justice is one of our guys that we took, we developed from the beginning.
It'll be interesting. Like, maybe the
Tobin would have traded him early in the year.
Maybe Tobin has traded everyone on the team.
That's not true. I mean, you guys are just slandering my name. I don't know what you're talking about.
Are you saying that's not an accurate statement?
Stop with your eyes. Do not.
Kawhi.
Don't do your eyes thing.
For Kawhi.
Yes or no?
Don't do your eyes thing.
Is it an accurate statement at some point during the season you wanted to trade pretty much everybody on the Heat?
Not Dwayne Wade.
Well, he didn't say.
Besides Dwayne Wade.
Now we're changing the rules.
No, he didn't say UD. UD has not been traded.
Okay. No, I didn't want to trade Bam. Except for Anthony Davis. Which is reasonable. You guys are being jerks. You've already thrown one bottle at me today.
That one's empty. This one got some heat on it.
Hey, man. I'm just trying to wheel and deal.
By the way, is anyone going to tell me my sideburn is all messed up?
I didn't even know you had a burn.
You don't see like it's like he like the barber left some situation going on there?
Nah, man.
I'm going
to
be honest
with you. Call my guy?
I don't pay that much.
No, I want nothing to do with your guy.
Got to be honest with you, not looking at your hairstyles very much.
Right, that's what
I'm
saying.
It's not a huge thing of focus.
I was in the bathroom. I looked in the mirror. I'm like, oh, man, he didn't.
Yeah, normally my evaluation of you is, there's still nothing on top there.
Also, while I was in the restroom.
You got essence of hair.
Something like that. Fill-in disc jockey on one of the other stations.
Yeah.
Went straight from the urinal out the door without washing the hands. How do we think about that? What do we think about
maybe
that?
Maybe he didn't.
Maybe he was up against the clock.
I wash my hands a lot of the times in the kitchen because I don't like the system we have there.
I do that at LA Fitness. I don't wash my hands in that little.
Because all we have is that poop blower.
Yeah.
Which is
you
not.
You can't dry it. It blows cold air. Hey, no, excuse me, corporate. You need hot air to dry your hands off.
Yeah, they're not listening.
Listen. Our CEO is here tomorrow. You can talk about the dryer in the bathroom.
Really?
I'm not going to that building.
Oh, you know, it's too late to email your question. I had to do it by 2 o'clock.
It's okay. Trust me. I'm not worried about it. And trust me, that wouldn't be my question.
The poop blower.
My question would have been in reference to stuff that happened last week. But it's all right. Bygones be bygones. So Pat Riley's doing a sit-down with Levitard this Sunday, which he talks about life, talks about the big three breaking up. I think I saw a clip where he said when they talked about the old LeBron call, he said he's like, as soon as that call happened, I saw a dynasty flying out the window. And he also says that he's not retiring until the Heat win another title. I love him. I love him. Hey. Not retiring.
By the way, let me just throw this out there. I don't want to rain on your parade.
You know what? I don't know if just throwing this out there is going to apply to you if you slander the Godfather right now.
I'm not
going to
slander him.
All right.
All right.
You better be careful.
He's clear. He's clear.
All right.
But I'm going to say this. Isn't that what everybody says? Right?
Are you saying Pat Riley's like a boxer?
No. Yeah, the best jab in the business. Yeah, I'm a people's champ. Yes. You say what you want to hear. You give a pop to the crowd, the interview.
So what's your point? What's your point with Riles?
My point is that I appreciate him saying that, but that don't mean nothing.
Maybe he just doesn't see a worthy successor. Maybe that.
No. It's not that. His intent may be to keep coaching until we win another championship. However, the reality of the Heat situation, you know and I know, that ain't happening right away.
Do you think that Pat... Hold on.
Did I not? Am I speaking the truth? It's not just a small pop a player here, get a player there, and boom, we're playoff contenders.
Right.
So, or championship contenders.
Mm-hmm.
So, although I understand what he's saying, the reality of making that happen, just with how the league is set up right now, is difficult. And it also means that, you know, if this is true, you know he's going to be around for at least 2 to 3 more years because that's when all this cap space is going to free up.
I think the thing that's going to be interesting, though, about the league is depending on what happens with Golden State. Like, because right now we look upon and say, like, nobody's touching them. Nobody's touching them. But if Durant leaves, what then becomes of all the contenders? Like, does it really then
okay,
kind of opens up
let me
for
ask
people.
You this.
I'm not saying the Heat are there.
No, but let me ask you this. What does it do for the Heat's chances if Durant and Kyrie go to New York?
Like, do you think that tandem is better than a lot of teams in the East right now? Like,
I'm just saying, in general, the Heat's chances. All we're talking about is the Heat. And Pat Riley saying, I'm not leaving until we win a championship. I'm just looking at the reality of the situation.
If we're just talking championship, if you're going to tell me what's better for the Heat's title chances, it's Kevin Durant and Kyrie being in New York than it is Golden State being
together. By the way, just on the other, like on another side of this, the whole Pat Riley is going to be here till they win, and then Leroy's like, well, we're not going to win, blah, blah, blah.
I didn't.
No, but just.
There you go.
What? Okay, then fix it.
I feel like you misrepresented him.
Okay.
Yes, you did a lot.
Okay, I'm not even talking about that. What I'm talking about is...
If you're not talking about it, then why did drag me and run the bus over me?
Sorry. Levitar Rosano Sedano, I happened to listen to this on a podcast on ESPN LA, and Levitar said he walked away from this day that he spent with Riles after talking to Riley and everyone around Riley, basically coming away with the idea that this whole pipe dream of Riley wants to retire, like he keeps looking at his Malibu home on his phone. He's got security cameras out in the Malibu home, and he keeps looking at the cameras.
Yep.
But in reality, this whole idea that he's going to retire out there is not happening, that he will not leave.
I honestly don't think Pat Riley thinks anybody can replace him.
Yeah, he may be 80, still doing this job.
You know what I found interesting? Did you guys
see... I think
his
relationship with Mickey is so good that
I don't think it's that. I think Mickey would tell him to go. I think Mickey would be more than happy. Like, when I brought you here in the mid-90s, I never thought it would be what it has been.
Right.
The other thing is they've been training Nick forever.
I understand that, and that's cool. But even with Nick being the big boss and he's going to be the guy running everything, the deal with Riley and having a guy like that here is having the idea of stability. Like, that guy he's putting on 73 years old. He's putting on gym shorts working out Dion Waiters because of what a mistake that contract was.
It wasn't a mistake, man.
It was.
That contract was not a mistake.
Okay. Well,
tell
that to him.
Look, I tell you
that,
what.
Tell that to him. It was having Dion Waiters run suicide sprints on a busted ankle.
With all the money that you gave out, Dion's not the worst contract you gave of the money you gave out. Just wait.
By the way, a texter brings us in on the accidentlawfirm.com text line 67974. And I was just about to say this, which is, you know, once Dwayne Wade buys in, you know, it's taken over for Riley.
Well, that's what I was going to bring up. Did you guys see the Kevin Garnett Wade interview?
No.
Because Wade said an interesting thing about when the career ends, the next step is what Udonis and I can do for the organization, which I led to believe he wants him and UD to run the organization. And so the only other candidate I would see that's still here right now running the organization would be Spo doing the double role. But we've seen...
Oh, you know, well, no, you know who's coming back.
Who?
James Jones.
No, he's outcast. And he's running the Suns. But we've seen with that coaching president thing, that hasn't been working.
Doc Rivers.
It's been a disaster. In fact, Riley's the last guy to do it.
Right.
So...
Well, Stan tried.
Yeah, it's a disaster. Nobody succeeds with that. Tom Thibodeau, it doesn't work. So I kind of think, like, Eric's best role is just coaching.
Right.
That's what I want him to do. I don't want Eric... Have him have input. I'm fine with that and have him be a big part of the organization.
And he does now.
But I don't want him also being the top personnel guy. I just don't.
So who do you want that guy to be?
I'm just asking, like, maybe have Dwayne Wade and Udonis Haslem do it.
Does Dwayne Wade really seem like, though, that he's, like, going to sit in an office and...
You know, people always bring this up, and they did the same thing with Chris Bosh, where they're like, oh, Chris, he has so many more interests. There's only so many acoustic songs you can learn on guitar and so many craft breweries you can go to. It runs old. He likes basketball.
He likes
That's
to travel.
What he's been doing. Yeah, it gets old. How many corners of the earth can Dwayne Wade go to?
Dwayne Wade loves taking Gabby on the boat, and they got the new baby.
I love boating, too. Here's what he wants to do. I'll tell you what he wants to do right now. What he's going to do is he's going to give it 1 year where he's over there in La La Land, and, hey, what's up, Gabby? And, oh, do some cameos on Nickelodeon. It'll be fantastic. The next year, Zaire Wade is going to be playing for Jim Laranjeiga over at the U.
Right.
He's going to be like, man, I really want to see my son play college basketball. Oh, I guess I'm going to go take a role with the Miami Heat so I not only can have an awesome role in pro basketball, but also see my son play basketball. And while I'm getting groomed like Pat... Like,
what do you do with your hands?
That's him getting
looks
groomed.
Looks like you're spreading butter on a piece of bread.
That's him getting groomed.
No, that's not
then
what that
after,
is.
Then after Zaire does his one and done and he's in the NBA, boom, he's running the Heat.
One and done?
One and done. That didn't learn from James Harden? He learned the step back.
No, what is that? Hey, what do you call that, James Harden? That's the reverse crab dribble?
By the way, the new State Farm commercial with James Harden, hilarious. Have you seen it?
With the beard?
With the beard.
Hey, that's not me.
That's not me.
That's not me. Sweet beard, though. Back after this. All right, welcome back. It's Tobin Leroy and Beast. Robbie running things. Back at it after a long weekend. Tremendous weekend. Tremendous fight weekend.
The rest of us were here, by the way.
Well, you guys don't respect the presidents. I don't know what to tell you. Show more respect to Pat Riley.
I don't respect anybody.
What? What are you talking about?
Mike Francesa.
The Pope.
Says in a tweet, because I have him on notifications.
Yeah.
He wouldn't sign Antonio Brown with someone else's money. That's the Pope.
Why?
I don't know.
That seems dumb. You wouldn't sign Antonio Brown. Really? So let me get this straight. He's a Giants fan? Let me get this straight. Somebody else is willing to pay Antonio Brown to play opposite Odell Beckham Jr. and he wouldn't play. Fire him. Fire Mike Francesa. Let me get this straight. I run the Giants and Francesa's my assistant. And somebody else calls up and they're like, hey, Francesa, I got an offer for you. We're going to pay Antonio Brown's salary to play for you this year. He says, no, thank you. I find that out. Hey, Mike. You're fired. Go run an AAF team. A dumb take. Really?
The Pope, man.
It's the only... Like,
you're both popes. You're the Pope of Petty. He's the Pope of Sports Talk.
That's a dumb thing to say.
He's downgraded to a cardinal.
You have a papal relationship.
Yeah. Trust me. He's not welcome in the Vatican.
Speaking of New York,
he's ousted. Can we talk about this bum? Giancarlo Stanton? This whiffer?
Here we go.
This guy. I mean, let's hear this,
go,
Robbie.
Go.
So let me recreate the scene for you, all right?
No, recreate it like it actually happened.
I will.
Not to make your point.
I only have the clip of his sound, so I'm going to recreate the question. Hey, what's up, Giancarlo? It's Bobo from the Bronx News. What are you going to tell us about the difference you had playing for the Bronx Bombers last year as opposed to them fish?
Not about learning. It's more just playing games that matter past... Get games when you're in it past May 7th, which I've never done. So that's the biggest difference.
I just think, like, if you're Giancarlo Stanton, do you got to take the cheap Marlin shots?
Like, wait a minute. We've been doing it for two years. Hold on. Oh, my goodness.
If you have a hand in making the meal and the meal turns out like crap every year, who's that on? You, the chef. That's who that's on. If I'm the customer and I'm at the restaurant, I can complain about the meal.
Didn't he win an MVP?
Yeah. Yeah. And then he won it out. And then he hightailed it out of here.
Do you blame him?
It wasn't on him.
Really?
He was hurt a lot.
Really?
First of all, he's
Mr. 4-6.
That was last year.
All the time. He was hurt all the time, Leroy. And also, May 7th, there wasn't a worse April player alive than Giancarlo Stanton. This guy got off to the slowest starts every single year. Every year, this Giancarlo Stanton, 230, 240, 250, 219. Every single year, this guy got off to a slow start. He was the worst at the beginning of the season. We always said, stick it out, Giancarlo. Stick it out, Giancarlo. You know he's going to come around. I mean, you're going to tell about being out of the, hey, if you're worried about being out of the race by May, start better. Because that's how it worked every single year. We're like, oh, we're out of these games by May 7th. Oh, I don't know. Maybe don't be terrible at the start of the year. Just maybe for once. Could it not take you 7 weeks to lay off the slider down and away? Just once.
Hey, you ready? If you didn't strike out for 2 weeks straight every April, maybe you could have been playing meaningful games here.
Seriously.
I was a big Stanton fan, but that was an uncalled low blow.
This is why I find it disappointing.
Answer this one question.
Go ahead.
And then you can have...
Go ahead.
And you can be petty.
The floor is yours. The floor is yours.
Have we all been doing what Stanton just did
for the last 2 years? This is why that doesn't hold weight. Because this guy was sitting up there singing a sad song because, oh, Derek Jeter, he's going to kick us out. We had something here. They want to rebuild. We have Ozuna. We have Yelich. We have all this talent in the outfield. But we're never in it out of May. Well, then whose fault is that? How good were you guys? Because you were sitting here laughing at Derek Jeter and saying, this guy, he wants to rebuild with us? Oh, okay. Let me get this straight. Were you guys close or were you not close? You got to make up your mind there, man. You're boxed in this situation. You can't go out there telling Jeter, oh, I don't want to be part of a rebuild, but yet saying your pieces were good enough. You just admitted your pieces weren't good enough because you're out of it every May, right?
Oh, I hate when people send these texts, but this is a funny one. Hey, Tolman, I might be the squire or duke of petty myself. That's a hot take.
My man.
Here's another thing. Why do we blast anybody that's gone?
Let me tell you something.
Oh, Who cares?
He's through the first stone.
Yeah.
He was asked a question.
Unsolicited. Unsolicited.
He was asked a question.
No.
Wait. What did you learn?
What did you learn?
Wait a minute.
I'm allowed to. I'm a Marlins fan. That's sports. He was a participant. And he has the richest contract in sports history from the Marlins.
He won an MVP.
This last year.
Let me tell you something. Yep. This dude lived such a charmed life.
Oh.
He got a Leroy, listen to me. Leroy, $325 million contract. Okay? He had the least pressure of any athlete getting a $325 million contract in the history of competitive sports. Nobody gave a rat's ass. He's got three reporters in there. They ask him a question. Hey, Giancarlo, can we hassle you for a question today? No, sorry, not today, guys. We're in a slump. All right. Huh? There's no pressure being down here. He got to live in his lady pyramid. So many ladies working out shirtless. This guy was more worried about working out shirtless on Instagram than he was figuring out how to not swing at a slider down and away. And yet, he's got the gusto to come out there at spring training. He's got the gusto to come out there at spring training and talk about, oh, we were out of it every May. Yeah, you want to know why? Because it was like the craps table figuring out whether or not you're going to be out there or not. Because you're too worried about your swole than you worry about your damn legs. Why are your legs that big? You swing a baseball bat for a living. You're too jacked.
He won the MVP.
His last year. His
you
last
keep
year.
Bringing that up. Great. He won the MVP. He said every single year. What about the years when his my hammy broke? What about the years where his hammy broke?
What about the year when he got hit in the face?
Don't grab the plate. Don't grab the plate.
What? Oh, my God.
How about the year when he was batting like sub-200 mid-June?
We never mentioned this. Oh, hey, conveniently, what about the MVP year? Yeah, great. Thank you. You want to know something? He should have four of them for all that money he was making. One MVP. Thank you, Giancarlo. Oh, let's get down on your hands and knees and thank Giancarlo Stanton for actually producing a Most Valuable Player award once. It only took 60 home runs in a meaningless season to do it, but thank you, Giancarlo. I mean, you sat up there like a phony I'll never forget this because I was very impressed with you. I was very impressed with you. You sat up there and you said you wanted to be the face of Miami sports and be a face for Miami baseball because the fans deserved it. And what did you do the first time it got hard? You hightailed it the hell out of here, forcing your way to Jeets' team so you could get all the glitz and glamour being on the Bronx Bombers.
Did you say?
And here's the thing that's frustrating about it. You want to talk about, I like the pressure. All right. You like the pressure so much? Good. Enjoy your pressure. I mean, they love Aaron Judge way more than you.
He was horrible. He was horrible in the playoffs.
Of course he was horrible in the playoffs. You want to know why? Because he's a whiffer. That's why.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Did you not say Jeets was on the take for trading Stan to New York?
He was on the take. I can't rule that out. But he had a no-trade clause, so he also had his hand in the cookie jar on that one.
He did reject the trade to the Cardinals and to the Giants.
Yep, he did reject those trades. So he's also responsible for this.
Hey.
And do you remember that press conference? I remember it very well. He was sitting up there and says, he said, you know, the Miami fans deserve this. They deserve a guy who's going to, you know, be the face of baseball down here. You want to be Dwayne Wade.
What are you supposed to say when you get $300 million?
No. Dwayne Wade sat through some real crap years here. This guy couldn't take it anymore. He didn't have the guts to stick it out.
Wait, you can't use Dwayne as an example?
I just did.
You went all.
I just did.
All Johnny Giotto on him when he went to Cleveland.
Excuse me. There's a reason for that. He had a lot of other teams he could have gone to. He could have come to Miami. He went to Cleveland. I didn't like that. We're past that, all right? We're getting a road named after him. We're buddy-buddy. We're cool now. So let's not bring up the past. But Giancarlo Stanton, oh my God. Listen to me. It's enough already with you talking about how bad you had it down here. You lived a charmed life. You guys got to play Fantasyland year in and year out. $325 million contract. You played in a nice ballpark. No pressure. Lady Pyramids. If you didn't win, bro, that's on you. Let's not do the same song and dance when you're saying, oh, me, Ozuna, and Yelich, we're the best outfield ever. Okay, go win something.
Two out of three guys won MVPs.
Not here.
Because you split them up.
No. You want to know why? Because one of them needed my motivation to actually be good at baseball.
Oh.
One of them needed to be called out.
Oh, Jesus.
They won 77 games.
Let me tell you something. Nobody has ever had the guts to call out one of the baseball players
you
down here.
You will not take credit for
really
for
really.
Yelich.
Let me get this straight.
No,
20 career home runs.
No,
and then he hits 21 as soon as I open my mouth.
No,
the first real bit of criticism that he gets, and all of a sudden he turns it around. Motivation is a very big motivator.
Also known as also.
Say that again.
Say it again.
Motivation is a real big motivator, Leroy. Momentum is huge.
Momentum?
Wait. I'm going to tell you right now.
What are you spewing?
Who's your favorite athlete?
The true art
who's
of
your
twisting
athlete?
The truth.
Of all time?
Who's your favorite athlete currently?
Currently?
It's Tom Brady. We know this.
Tom Brady, yeah.
What is Tom Brady's greatest motivation?
Winning.
The haters.
We're still here.
The haters.
No, winning.
The haters.
It's winning.
It's the haters.
Even if they're not real, he makes up fake haters.
It's the haters. He makes up fake haters. That's how much he loves the haters. And so I come out here and I strut onto this radio station and I hate on Christian Yelich because he hits like a baby fawn. And then all of a sudden, boom, turns it around. I created an MVP.
Can we go to break?
Please.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.